Hi everyone, my name's Johnny Scott and I'd like to welcome you to Phoenix On Demand, or POD as we like to call it. This is the seventh in our series of podcasts where we'll be looking to help educate and hopefully entertain you on all things IT. So today we are talking about a topic that anybody can relate to, which is accessibility. But more specifically, how the IT sector can enable accessibility. So I've got a few stats. There are 13.9 million people registered as disabled in the UK, which translates to roughly 20% of the population. Breaking this down equates to 8% of children, 19% of working age adults, and 45% of pension age adults have been registered disabled. A recent survey also discovered that disabled people are more than twice as likely to be unemployed as non-disabled people, and that one in three people see disabled people as less productive than non-disabled people. But what is this based on, and why do people think like this? Everyone should have the same opportunities, and thanks to advances in technology, people at home, school or work can now achieve more with the amazing built-in accessibility tools and features in many of today's leading software programs. So, to discuss this in more detail, in the studio today, we've gathered David Brown, Modern Workplace Specialist at Phoenix, Greg Dean, our Charities and Housing Sector Sales Manager here at Phoenix, and Keith Martin, our Director of Public Sector Sales at Phoenix.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, guys. How are we doing today?
Hi, everyone.
Yeah, good.
Good, thanks, Johnny.
Good, good. Can we just start by doing a quick introduction for our listeners? David, let's start with you.
Yeah, David Brown, as mentioned, Modern Workplace Specialist. My role is to help our customers understand some of the capabilities of M365, a big part of which being accessibility.
Brilliant. Keith?
Thank you. So yeah, Keith Martin, Sales Director at Phoenix Software. Accessibility is something that is increasingly important in what we're talking to our customers about, but also, you know, personally very important to me as well. I do, within the family, have a son with a challenging eye condition, and I think over the years, the inspiration you see in what technology brings to people has very much changed the way that I view technology. I think I've been in IT a long time, and if you go back maybe 5 years, 10 years, for us working in an IT channel, it's always been about SKUs and office applications and server applications. And until probably 3-4 years ago, when I saw a video at Microsoft Inspire, when you really thought or really saw how technology could really change the lives of people.
Yeah.
I think that was something that I found quite inspiring. And I actually think it's something that, especially over the last 12, 24 months, the work that David's been doing, the work that Greg's been doing in our account base has just been transformational. And I don't mean that from the buzzword side of things. I mean the way it actually has changed people's lives.
Yeah. Brilliant, and it's great to have you with us here today, Keith. I know it's a very personal topic for you, and one that you're very passionate about. So thank you for joining us, Greg. Over to you. Introduction, please.
Thanks, Johnny. Greg Dean. I look after our charities and housing team, and just you know to pick on what Keith said there, and also the stats that you've ran through at the summary there, Johnny. Obviously, the sector I look after is, you know, it's a huge aggregated sector that caters for all types of people's challenges. So accessibility has been at the forefront of that for a number of years now, and it's very rewarding to be delivering solutions that are making real change to people.
Yeah, and I guess some of your customers within the charity sector are quite way ahead of the game in terms of, you know, the software vendors are having to play catch up to some of the ways that the charities operate in some respects.
Absolutely, in some ways, yeah. And you know, the sector's becoming more and more diverse. The tenants, the volunteers, the people that they engage with, you know, the challenges are ever increasing, so solutions that help cater for that are fantastic.
Brilliant.
Can I just interject there? I know from those stats, Johnny, they're really powerful stats, and you could say they're somewhat distressing to hear.
Yeah.
However, those are stats based on today and people who have faced those challenges now. I think what will be fantastic, and I have no doubt about this, is if you rolled forward a number of years, those stats are only going to go in one direction. Yeah. That's going to be a very positive story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So first question to the group to set the scene today. What does accessibility and technology mean to us here at Phoenix, but more importantly, our customers that we serve? So who wants to go first on that one?
Yeah. So We've covered some of that in terms of what Keith and Greg were saying for their specific sectors. I mean, for us at Phoenix, accessibility is key. At Microsoft, it's key. And a lot of the work that we're doing is around the Microsoft stack. Their mission statement, as mentioned, is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And the way that we do that really is around inclusivity. And the design of what we deliver to our customers needs to be inclusive for everybody, whether that be a customer immersion experience, whether that be the presentations that we're delivering on site at customers, at customer organizations, or the events that we run, or even some of the content that we're creating for our customers needs to be accessible to the maximum number of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And Keith, what you've seen out there then?
Yeah,
in the client
I would agree with a lot of that. The work we are delivering to those customers, and the way you almost see the light bulb moment of what can be achieved, and they didn't necessarily realize what could be achieved from sometimes technology they've already invested in, is fantastic. But this is also far, far more broader. I mean, you know, we all supply to either third sector or public sector organizations. What we are doing is the story we have around accessibility, and the way we can bring those contracts to life and that modern workplace to life is actually changing the employment options, opportunities for the people involved. And in public sector, you can often lose staff. To have a workplace that is far more accessible, is modern, is empowering to work within, actually switches it, and they can retain staff. So there's a really strong story. This is sort of multi-layered, and we could talk about it for a long, long time, and I know we're going to have 20, 25 minutes today. But I think some of the functionality we're seeing, or some of the stories we have to tell customers, this could help someone who's dyslexic really feel empowered within the workplace, mm-hmm. but it unlocks productivity across the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the point, isn't it? A lot of the technologies are initially there, we think, to aim at the small percentage of people who really need them. But actually, once the technology is unlocked, it benefits the whole working population in those customers. And that's what I think we've started to see. And it's been so enriching being able to do that for people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we touched on there, Keith, that you know, good accessibility enables inclusivity and productivity. And David, a question for you. This is something that you talk about on a regular basis with our client base. Can you give us a few examples of how people can employ a good accessibility strategy, leveraging technology specifically?
Yeah, before I do, I think it's quite important to explain kind of the importance of inclusivity, as you mentioned. It's not necessarily a set policy or a procedure. There'll be different people with different needs across any organization. I think what's really important is to make sure that at the core of what you're offering to the customers or the employees that you employ or the citizens that you serve is that inclusive design. And we see benefits of that across all different areas that we work in. Some of them necessarily weren't set out for the members of the public. Some areas of the world that we live in built products that were designed for people with accessibility needs, and we've all benefited from that. One of which is something like curbs, for example, and curb cutting. We all have carried a trolley, or we've all carried a suitcase around a supermarket or around a city in a major city, and had the benefit of being able to drag our suitcase up a curb. That initially was designed in 1945 for US veterans that were coming back from World War II. So what was necessarily was built for people that had a disability need we all benefit from. And I think that's really important when we think of technology. It shouldn't be an afterthought. It shouldn't be something that we're thinking, okay, let's
great
find a
point.
Patch. Let's put a fix in. And there's some great tools out there. I'm not going to name them because I've used them in the past, but there's tools that are in there for people with accessibility needs. I'm dyslexic, so I've used lots of different tools to help me with my own reading and writing and my own needs from a dyslexia perspective. And from a technology perspective, what we're seeing is rather than if the technology is built with people at the forefront, so the maximum number of people that it could reach to, it's not an afterthought. So it's not a plug-in, it's not a fix to something that's been created. And that's kind of what we try to offer when we're delivering sessions to our customers now. We don't want to be going in and be delivering specific accessibility workshops, although we do, and that's a value add that we offer to our customers. But everybody benefits from some of these features. Mm-hmm. If you think of the likes of dictation services and voice services, many of us have voice technology in our home today. It's something that, again, is a huge aid for people with accessibility needs, but it's something that we can all benefit from.
Yeah. I think in a in a multicultural society, if you think of some of the city councils we deal with, or some of the NHS trusts that we deal with, councils in particular, I have got the experience with, where you know, translation services can be hugely expensive, and yeah, there's always going to be a place for them, and I understand where that fits, but the ability to be able to use that and interact with people rather than having to use a third party all the time is not just going to save the authority money, which is a great byproduct of what they're trying to achieve there, but from a social interaction point of view, dealing directly with the person rather than through a third party, the outcome is probably going to be far more positive as well. And they talk about that in healthcare, mm-hmm, saying that, you know, that eye contact is actually vitally important. Yeah. So rather than disappearing off, having the ability to do something by the bedside, using the tools that are available, again, you're delivering a much better care.
And we can go into what we do in this sector, Keith, to build on that, really, how we are helping a lot of our housing customers provide solutions that can communicate to all their challenges they have with various different languages. So they're engaging with their tenants using the translation software that's capable within the solutions that we're giving them.
Fantastic.
And keeping that engagement on a face-to-face basis.
Makes it more personal again, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I would imagine a lot of the charities as well, Greg, who are operating abroad in areas of
completely
need and disaster, yeah, that, you know, they will require these kind of services and technology advancements as well.
Absolutely. And a lot of them have got access to it through the agreements that they have and various different products that they've already purchased, but they've just not been aware that that capability is there. Mm. So for us to be able to empower them with that, and the sessions that we do, which I'm sure we'll cover off later, it's just been fantastic.
Yeah. Brilliant. So at Phoenix, we cover a wide variety of customers across the UK public sector. We've touched on some of them there. Can we pick out any more specific use cases that are specific to those sectors, in addition to the ones we've just discussed? For example, you know, Greg in charities and housing, Keith, any wider public sector programs or initiatives that are going on at the minute?
Again, it's a really difficult one, John, because it touches so many different aspects of almost every organisation we deal with.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think if we start dealing with very specific use cases, maybe in a charity or a housing association or a council, sometimes we can dilute the power that we have here. Because I think at the crux of this, and what's the where this really works well, is giving everyone the mm-hmm. opportunity to be included. And that could be a frontline worker, that could be someone working in a hospital, or mm. it could be for all we know, a highly skilled, highly qualified doctor. You don't know mm-hmm. by looking at people the challenges they face.
Yeah.
So I think that the phenomenal work that Dave and his team are doing when we're out there working with customers is not, it's very difficult for you, I believe, because actually we have to pitch this at so many different levels, mm-hmm. yet every different department of every different organisation we engage with, there will be a challenge. And I think once we highlight those and we can really bring the investment they have in technology to life and benefit the organisation, then I think we've all got a win. And I think, you know, personally, and I'm sure, Greg, you're the same, I'm sure, David, you must, because you're so immersed in this. This is a really rewarding engagement for us to be doing, because actually what we are seeing is complete changes of organisations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's difficult to home in on one area. I know we've touched on a few, but I think it maybe is slightly wrong to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a privilege we have at Phoenix, that we don't necessarily need to go with the need, which is always great. If we're able to offer an inclusive session and an inclusive immersion experience to all of our customers, they can pick the benefits that apply to those selves as individuals, but their organization, and adapt that to their own specific needs. Yeah. We do have an awesome privilege, but being public sector only organization, we do touch every single area. So we'll be working with a primary school teacher, and we've actually employed a primary school teacher that works for Phoenix that has really used some of these accessibility features in the classroom, and we deliver stuff like CPD sessions for a teacher's learning environment around how you make your classroom more inclusive. And then across all of the other sectors, we've got areas where we'll tap into this and be able to adapt some of our offerings and solutions that we provide to our customers, but allow them to take the bits that they need to make their own organization more mm-hmm. inclusive for the customers that they're working with.
So I've sat in a session before, and this sort of maybe just brings it a bit more to life as well. I've sat in a session before, it's either one that David was delivering or one of his colleagues, where actually we were delivering what would be a Phoenix public sector CIE, so the modern public sector, and what our vision of that is. And actually the question came from one of the people in there about, oh, that would really help me. And I actually think some of their colleagues didn't know some of the challenges that person faced.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. In that environment, seeing how it would help him, he was happy to talk about it. And again, that's what we should be doing here. That's
so
that.
Showcase the technology and let people come forward and shout about the areas that
they would always be
or not. Yeah. Make or it not, so inclusive that they don't have to. A big part of that's people really that have accessibility needs is we hide it. I'm dyslexic. Mm. All of my working life until I've had this role, I've hidden the fact that I was dyslexic. Most employees that have employed me haven't had a clue. I'd be sending my partner emails to proofread and proof check any content that I was creating of any volume because I was so embarrassed. And I think by building and showcasing some of this from a user perspective, how you can access this technology quickly without necessarily having to go through many steps or tell someone or make your whole organization aware, it's really powerful and something that a lot of people benefit from.
Another good point there, it might be relevant to yourself, Greg. I think David touched on it when saying how we work with a teacher to help us with some of our customer immersion experiences. And I'm married to a nurse. I keep telling her one day we're going to employ her to tell, so she can showcase how we can help make the NHS better and then showcase some of these tools. I think that's really interesting because it's one thing we confront up to a customer thinking we understand their challenges and thinking understand their needs, but until we've lived their lives, we don't.
Yeah.
And I imagine some of the charities you deal with, Greg, and some of the other public sector bodies we deal with, we really have to try our hardest to understand those challenges they face to then bring them to life and offer them the solutions that will really help them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, guys. So I know we've skirted around mentioning vendor names and specific technologies, but I think our listeners would probably want to understand what's out there, what's available to them. So I'd like to delve deeper on that a bit, if you will. What's currently out there that can enable the kind of things we're talking about here? What we're experiencing, we're working with as Phoenix.
Sure, and I think you've probably gathered by some of the stuff we've been talking about around M365, some great functionality within that. And David presents that quite often to customers. I sat in a presentation last week and been doing some work with Adobe. There's some really interesting work they're doing in this space. But there's also a broader topic here, which I think is quite important. These are really good, powerful stories we talk about. And actually, if you start to look further and look where things such as AI come into this, you may have seen terminology in either IT press or some sort of presentations from vendors around sort of AI for good and how really using this. And if I go back to some of the things that I've got experience of, and it would be certainly for some of the research charities you deal with,
sure,
Greg, is actually AI is the ability to advance potential treatments and cures by using AI. That I think we're a tip of an iceberg there.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that could really accelerate. I think you were briefly speaking to me about it earlier in the week, David. Didn't you sit through something recently around this?
Yeah, and a couple of weeks ago I was at Microsoft's AI Startup for Good, and it's kind of so empowering to see how they're using a platform of that being AI, which is a very broad platform to call a platform, primarily built on the Azure stack, but being able to take their individual areas of accessibility or treatment, as you said, in research and development, and use the AI capabilities to really enhance that offering to the people that they're serving and connecting with. Even one of them, for example, was around helping people that had accessibility needs in terms of understanding where they're able to go because they had cystic fibrosis, and they were wanting to know which restaurants they were able to go and visit, which hotels were accessibility friendly. And every organization will have that on a sort of a website somewhere. And this had an AI scanning tool that was going out and scanning all of the different potential locations and pulling that back in so that then the user can tell and pinpoint where they're going, and it will list all of the accessibility services that then they can touch and need, and even adapt that to an individual that may have an accessibility need. So they don't need to know whether there's going to be stuff for people that are hard of hearing. They need to know what they need for their own accessibility need, but using AI to have that scanning capability and collating all of that is so powerful. It's incredible. There was hundreds of them that day that were around, that were there to support it. They had about 20 showcasing it, and the capabilities are kind of limitless. And that's why we, even though I'm Microsoft through and through, I live and breathe M365, we don't want to necessarily say this is vendor specific. I think every organization and every technology vendor is on a journey to making this
absolutely
better.
Absolutely. Certainly a lot of the things I've seen from Microsoft been very empowering. You're right, David, and I remember one vividly about a Microsoft developer who was blind, and he developed an app that would link into his glasses, and it would describe to him what potentially he
could, that was he, the video he I saw. Be looking at. And that was the video when they first showed that, they showed it, well, I think it was the first time I had seen it anyway. Yeah. It was on the I think we were in Toronto, and it was the main video they showed at one of the keynotes they were saying. And I think there probably wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Absolutely.
But I think that was quite a defining moment for people to see what technology was capable of.
And I think you're right, Keith. You know, that's the tip of the iceberg with this. I think we're just getting started.
Yeah, I think it's from the coal face of someone day-to-day living it through to the research into conditions behind the scenes being accelerated because of the power of technology that is there.
Yeah.
I think, sometimes we can get a bit lost in how technology can be perceived to be negative and bad, and it's going to impact people's jobs, and cause jobs to be lost. I think there's a lot of good here, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the coming weeks, months, years.
Yeah, if you think where we've got to pretty quickly from the power of the technology companies behind this, of where it can take us in the future is pretty exciting to think about, really.
I think so. Imagine, talking futures here, but imagine a public sector body that you can really understand the accessibility needs of its citizens and tailor its services accordingly.
Yeah.
So that's not just their own employees, but actually taking it out into the community. Some may already be doing it. I'm sure if they're not, they're thinking about it. But again, tip of the iceberg stuff.
And you've got that, Greg, with some of the stuff. I deliver what we call the customer inclusion experience now alongside our CIE for those organisations that want to offer this out to their customers that may have accessibility needs. And some of the HAs have now you can talk about it, but they've been offering that as a value.
Absolutely. Add. So we've been delivering those specifically for the challenges that charity or that housing association has, so they can actually cater for their delivering their own services and delivering that session for their communities that have those particular challenges. So
fantastic.
It is generally empowering the organisations to engage with their clients.
Again, a really good point. I was having a conversation about, I won't name the city, but they were talking about a challenge they had in a particular area of the city.
Right.
And it was a very high crime rate, and it was quite a diverse area. They were facing challenges to try and curb sort of antisocial behaviour. And they tried things such as, more police patrols, things such as that. And we're still to see the outcome of it. But one of the conversations came up saying, well, actually, have we actually engaged in that area? Are there signs around there? Are we talking in a language that can be consumed and understood? So actually they know why the police are there, what the challenges are, what antisocial behaviour is not tolerated. And that was just a very different viewpoint from a city to think, actually, we need to be engaging here rather than just a police presence to stop it.
Yeah.
Again, and that can be done through translation services and that we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
There's a specific use case around that, Keith, for cameras, CCTV systems.
Indeed, yeah.
You know, determining what the mood of a crowd is and things like that. But you could relate that back to the accessibility conversation. Is someone happy? Is someone engaged? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they if they're not? And then it feeds back through. But all great case studies and use cases.
And by the way, as you've mentioned it as well, the app that we were talking about around from people with a visual accessibility need is an app called Seeing AI. So Seeing AI, it's a Microsoft app. It's now free of charge to anyone. So you can download it today for our listeners. You can have some fun with it because it can guess your age and it can guess your mood. So it will tell you if you're happy or frowning.
Can I just say that Ashley guessed I was younger than David once?
Yeah, not impressive for that.
I think there's been a few bug fixes since then. I think that also the translator app's available, isn't it? And that can be downloaded. And that's quite an interesting one. I made the mistake of sharing that with my children. I'm convinced they now use it for their homework. So I'm having to curb the usage of that.
Yeah. Brilliant. No, so guys, most organisations will have an accessibility statement. What can they do in addition to this to integrate accessibility and inclusivity further into their organisations, leveraging technology specifically?
Okay, so that's a very broad question. As mentioned, in terms of kind of some of the capabilities from a technology stance, but from an organisation, it's around making sure that you're being more inclusive, and that's whether you're allowing everyone to be included by giving them the technology and the tools to do so, but it's also checking your own content that you're creating. Every organization is creating content of some sort. And there's all kinds of ways in which you can do that. There's making sure that you add stuff like alt text to your websites and the images that you might be uploading to anything in terms of a presentation. But built natively within M365, and I don't want to talk just around M365, there's now features where you can check accessibility in terms of what you're producing. So I could go to a slide, press review, and then there'll be an option there to do accessibility checker, and it will give me pointers and hints and tips on how I can make my content that I'm delivering more accessible to everybody. So whether that be alt text or larger font size, all of that type of hints and tips. From a cultural perspective, and that's kind of what you're saying in terms of a policy, there's no kind of one right answer, and I think it's down to the organizations to take ownership on being more inclusive, both for the workforce and for the customers that they're speaking
serving
to.
Absolutely.
But in order, by doing that, really what they're ensuring is that they are reaching everyone, and they are reaching a larger number of people in terms of being able to sell more to, or be able to service more in terms of public sector, and being better engaged and being seen as a value add to the people that they're working with.
Yeah. Which leads me on nicely to my next question. So it wouldn't be a Phoenix podcast without relating that back to our business. So a question to all of you, how can Phoenix help here? What are some of the services available to our clients today? What are the conversations that we can bring to them to help them design that strategy and help build on their accessibility statements?
Well, I think we've touched on a lot of stuff here, Johnny. I think that it depends on the customer's maturity. If I think about some of the and by that I mean where they are in their technology maturity. When I think about with public sector bodies or councils or NHS trusts we're working with, quite often we'll involve David and his team really early stages to understand. It could be a cloud journey as to where they're going. What does Office 365 or M365 mean to them, and what are the business drivers for that? Are they looking at things such as Teams? Are they looking at, is it as simple as taking email from on-prem to online?
Yeah.
But then as those conversations evolve, I think that's when you really broaden it to understand that and you're profiling users and understanding user challenges, because actually there's no point doing any of these pieces of work unless you get the adoption and the culture change and the business change at the end of it.
Sure.
As we go through that, we really understand the key issues that need to be addressed. And I've worked with a number of, one specific council sprung to mind where we went through this, and yes, M365 was absolutely the right choice for them for a number of different reasons, but the most engaging parts of those sessions were around the sort of, I call them peripherals, they're not peripherals, they're the key parts of the technology, but bits that were, you could say were maybe soft benefits from the investment, but really key to the people it meant to mentee. Yeah. So it tends to come out as part of those broader engagements. As David says, we can run accessibility sessions specifically. I have one coming up with a local authority in a few weeks where we're going to be presenting to occupational health and another team there.
Mm. How does that look, Keith, that session, in terms of what's the agenda for the day?
I think David is probably the better person to ask. I'm the sort of person who sells the concept and then gets David to come in and do all the good stuff. So
go on, yeah, then David, expand out on that a bit for us.
So they're adaptable, and that's the beauty of this, to the needs of the customers that we're serving. So, and we service all sectors, as we mentioned, from a public sector side of things. We really drill down and look at kind of whether, if that's in a classroom, this is a session that's going to enhance the students' performance, so it's going to help them work better in the classroom. If it's a charity in housing, it'll be around that, and they're similar for public sector. I think the session itself is kind of broken down into, okay, let's understand all of the capabilities from an accessibility piece for M365, but there's lots in Windows 10, and we sometimes do sessions specifically around the visual aspects of Windows 10. But then let's look at kind of their need and adapt the agenda based on that. So the one that Chris referenced, the biggest focus within that is making sure that their content is multilingual. So a lot of that is around all of the translation services that are built into this, as well as then everything else that's wrapped into the M365 offering.
I think the other thing, and I mean, Greg, I'd be interested in your views on this. I think it's not just for us engaging with customers when they're quite early on a cloud adoption program or something such as that. I think that we've had a lot of success, or a lot of ability to change the way organizations operate by going back to customers who were really early adopters, because actually they did it for a reason, and now technology's moved on so much that they can go back and they've already made the investment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know if that's something you see maybe specifically in charities as well.
Yeah, we do, Keith, absolutely. And it's just as you say, we have such a diverse range of customers on that journey, you know, wherever they may be, and we can help them at any point, really. The sessions that we do for David's team, I think, you know, really do add a lot of value to customers. And a lot of customers just don't know what questions to ask in many cases. And, you know, so we can help them in many different ways wherever they are on the journey.
Brilliant.
And many of those are free of charge in terms of those sessions that we deliver.
Yeah.
There are obviously chargeable services that we can offer that are more kind of customizable and more in depth around the adoption and the deployment of some of these accessibility features. But it's keen to note that we do cover this in every single one of our CIEs. There'll be some area of accessibility elements that are in there, but even the ones that we're doing as specific workshops, we're not out to charge and make money out of accessibility. This is down to the value add that we provide to our
Without using buzzwords, and I know I get to get a bit irritated at times, we talk to our sales teams and our engagement teams about, you know, delivering outcomes to customers and not selling SKUs. Yeah. And I know you know what I mean there. This is really working with them and going out into the customers we serve. And I would suggest, you know, for any customer that really wants to understand how we can bring that investment to life and really wants to look at what they've spent their money on and where the added value could be to their employees, that's where we come in, and that's where we can really work with them. And it is remarkable what we can achieve.
It is, and you guys do a great job of that. And David, well done on the, you know, bringing all this together from a delivery perspective. You know, it's something that I think we're all very proud of here at Phoenix. So
he's not blown his own trumpet, but he's been very highly praised by a variety of organisations for the work he does, and I think it's only fair we do state that.
Absolutely. So guys, thank you all for joining me today. You know, it's been a pleasure to have you as always. I think we actually captured some really great content there.
I've really enjoyed this one. It's a great topic to talk about, and I think hopefully we've conveyed it's one that's very important to us. It certainly runs through a lot of what we do day to day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks, guys. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we hope you found it of use. Please get in touch if you want to discuss any of the points further. If you want to support what we do, please share and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pod. Thank you.